Sing it this morning, but to the Lord. Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go when I'm seeking a refuge for my
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. He died for the sinner, paid all his due. Oh, sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass over you. Oh, when I see the blood, open for sin. And
don't you reach over and shake hands with your neighbor this morning?
Good to have everyone here this morning. It's good to be out in service this morning. A little chilly, but it feels looks like it's going to be a nice day. Our October Bible study, we'll have the youth Bible study for ages 15 to 30 on Thursday, October the 24th. That'll be here at the church from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. The following evening, Friday the 25th, we'll have youth Bible study for ages 10 to 14, and that'll also be from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. here at the church. And then, Lord willing, the following day, Saturday the 26th, for the young people ages 10 to 30, never married, we'll have a gym that evening from 5 to 9 p.m., and there'll be more information on where that'll be. And that the same evening as the gym, there will be a couples meeting here at the church from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. So if you can come out and enjoy those things, I believe it'll be a blessing to you. God bless you. I want to continue to remember Sister Joy Duval in prayer. She's still in the hospital? Okay, she's went to rehab, but want to continue to remember her in prayer that God will give her a full recovery. And also, please remember my wife, Sister April, in prayer. She's having some tests ran tomorrow and also still battling with a lot of back pain. So I know God can touch and heal that. Amen. If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. He sees each hand. God bless you. Brother Layton.
Let us pray. Fathers, we bring these requests before that throne of mercy. How grateful we are that we have a place that we can come, that we can approach you knowing, Lord, that you will hear, but not only hear, but you will answer the cries of your children. Now, Lord, each one of these, our Sister Joy Duval, may you continue her healing and raise her back up, Lord Jesus, and keep her with us a while longer. Draw her closer to you. And for Sister April, Lord Jesus, we know she goes through a lot. Father, you are her strength and everything that she has need of. Now, Father, now she has a need of healing in her body. Lord, we know how terrible that back pains can be. Father, you've healed us, and I know you can heal our sister. We ask you to come on the scene for her. Reach down your loving, kind hand and heal the body of our sister. And for every hand that went up, Lord Jesus, you know every need that's behind it. You know every loved one. Every problem, every trial, every test, every victory, and every failure. Lord Jesus, answer every need for thy glory. We ask all of these things. We ask you to be in the service this morning. Anoint the pastor and anoint our ears, that not only may he speak under the anointing, but may we hear with anointed ears and line up with thy word, and not just be hearers only, but doers. Granted, Lord Jesus, we invite your presence in this morning so that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now this morning we'll be reading from the 72nd, that's 7-2, 72nd chapter of the book of Psalm. And we'll read the first 10 verses. And if the Lord willing, we'll finish it up next week. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. The mountains shall bring peace to his people, and the little hills by righteousness.
He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor.
They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth.
He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth.
They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. God bless you. Please be seated.
At this time, we have a special from Sister Chloe.
It's a bubbling, it's a bubbling, it's a bubbling in my soul. I'm singing, I'm shouting, like Jesus made me whole. Some folks don't understand it, but I just can't keep quiet. It's a bubbling, 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 bubbling in my soul. It's a bubbling, it's a bubbling.
She was carrying her down the aisle, and she was clapping before she got to her pew. Chloe's singing about it's a bubbling, so I think we have lots to be happy about this morning. Amen. If the brothers would please come at this time.
I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. I've got a father over yonder. It's on the other shore. A happy meeting.
That bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be tomorrow. On the other shore, I've got a Father over yonder. I've got a Father over yonder. I've got a Father over yonder. On the other shore, and some bright day I'll go and meet him. Some bright day I'll go and meet him. Some bright day I'll go and meet him. On the other shore, oh, won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? Won't that be a happy meeting? On the other shore, oh, that bright day might be tomorrow. That bright day might be. That bright day might be tomorrow on the other shore.
God bless you. Let's stand.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Sometimes we feel like this, but we have an answer.
Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. just take it to the Lord in prayer. To thy friends despise, forsake thee.
Discouraged. You believe you can have joy in the storm? Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. God bless you.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more He takes control. The more that I can humble myself, the more He lifts me up. Oh, every day I live, oh Lord, I love You more. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more You take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more You lift me up. Oh, every day I live, oh Lord, I love You more. The more that I surrender,
how you feel this morning? Well, I started out traveling for the Lord many years ago. Since then, I've had a lot of heartaches, had a lot of grief and woe. Oh, but when I would stumble, then I would humble down. Then and there, I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my. The devil tempts me, he's trying to turn me around. Oh yes, he's offered everything, he's got a name, all the wealth I want, worldly fame. If I could, still I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, there's nothing in the world could ever take the place of God's love. All that silver and gold wouldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, but when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there, I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no. Let's sing it this way again. Oh, there's nothing in the world could ever take the place of God's love. All your silver and gold couldn't buy a mighty touch from above. Oh, but when my soul needs healing, I begin to feel His power. Then and there I would say, wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, no, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Gotta make heaven somehow. Oh, the devil tempts me. He's tried to turn me around. Oh, he's offered everything. He's got a name on the wealth I hold. Worldly fame and good still, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. Amen. Is that how you feel this morning? Amen. I'm not turning back, but I'm moving forward in the Lord. Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in service again this morning. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. We want to continue to look at this thought of the congregation, but I want to look at, for the next maybe couple Sunday mornings, on this thought of the spirit of bondage. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that You'd be with us this morning. No doubt there are many needs represented here, Father. You know each one. You know each circumstance and each situation, each need. Lord, maybe there's hearts that are questioning, or, Lord, maybe there's circumstances that have beat people down, Lord, and they need encouragement. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would come this morning, just take complete control. May You encourage the discouraged. May You fill the empty. May You save the lost, Lord. May You strengthen those that are weak, Father, that need strengthening. Lord, every one of us needs Your strength. And, Lord, we need Your help, Lord, for the journey. Lord, we need encouragement, Father. And we just ask You to move on the scene in a way that only You can. Lord, anoint me, Lord, as You would see fit, and help me to get myself out of the way to where it wouldn't be me, Father, but to where You could encourage the group that's here this morning. Be with those, Lord, that are traveling. Protect them and bring them back to us safely. Lord, be with those that are sick in body, Father, and touch them and heal them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. The children of Israel had been in bondage for hundreds of years, and they had cried to God for a deliverer, and it seemed like there was no deliverer that would come. Generation after generation serving as slaves, and they all prayed to Jehovah and asked God to send them a deliverer, and they were expecting maybe some type of military power, or they were expecting to maybe raise up as a group of people. But when God sent them a deliverer, it didn't come the way that they expected it. A little baby in a basket. And usually when God does something, He does it absolutely contrary to the way that we expect it. But He's not required to do things according to our expectations. He's not required to meet our expectations, but we need to meet His expectations. And so their discouragement and the mentality that they had been raised as slaves, and their parents had been raised as slaves, and their grandparents had been raised as slaves, and yet they would cry to God for freedom, and God would send them a deliverer. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgments." You see, they had been brought into a place where once
Their people were a free people. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, although they were sojourners in a strange land, yet they were free to go where they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do. But now, by oppression of a nation, they had been brought under subjection that they couldn't get up of a morning and go where they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do. But now, man was ruling over man. And Brother Bam says in Victory Day 1963, he said, as I once heard a remark, God made man and man made slaves. God didn't make man to rule over another. God made man to be brothers. That's right. You know, it's sad that a little bit of that Nicolaitan spirit creeps right in around the message, that there's always been a spirit that man want to rule over man, and then there's another spirit that men will just sit down and let men rule over him. One's just as bad as the other. One is just as bad as another. We always look at the taskmasters and say how terrible, but what about those that just subject themselves and say, well, we want somebody to rule over us. You see, in the days of Samuel, it wasn't that Saul was standing up and begging Samuel and saying, make me a king, make me a king. In fact, he was hiding out behind some things there, trying to hide and run from the thing, but the people were constantly crying, make us a king. Make somebody to rule over us. We want somebody to tell us what to do and where to go and how to dress and how to tie our tie and what color of clothes to wear and what type of car to buy and all these things. They wanted somebody to rule over them when God wanted to be the one to rule over them. God did not call me, and I'll say it this way, God didn't call any other pastor to rule over you. God calls pastors to be a help, to try to lead the people into more of the word, but he doesn't call them to be a dictator over the people, to tell you, go into your home and tell you what you can have and what you can't have. But yet men want to do that, and then sadly other men want the people to do that. I don't understand it. God made us to be free, but I feel like many times we're like Johnny Crow that Brother Branham talked about. You're free, but you don't realize that you're free. Why? Because we've still got a slave mentality. Because you're so used to serving something or somebody. You're used to serving the devil. You're used to serving sin. You're used to serving this, that, or the other. But I want to tell you and remind you again this morning that he that the Son hath set free is free indeed. Amen. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Amen. The only one that I want to rule over me is the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm not looking to another pastor. I'm not looking to another man. I'm not looking to an organization or a group of people or some council or some group or whatever it would be to rule over me. But I'm looking for God to be my guide. God made man and man made slaves. God didn't make a man to rule over one another. God made man to be brothers. That's right. He says to be brothers, not to rule over one another. No superior race, no superior nation, no superior language. We have one language, heavenly. See, that's right. We have one brotherhood. That's man. That's man no matter who he is. He says in one place he was only interested in one race, and that was the human race. But he begins to talk about Samuel and how the people would cry for a king and the rejected king in 1960. And he says, and no matter how much that Samuel tried to persuade the people, continually they went after him day and night. We want a king. We want a man. We want a man that we can say, this is our guide. Uh-oh. A lot of them today, right around the message, people want to say, this is our guide. This man tells us what to do. This man tells us this. This man, we've got them all over the world, India, Africa, over in Trinidad, in the United States, up in Canada. They're everywhere. They're a dime a dozen. We want a man that we can say, this is our guide, and that has never been the will of God. It never was the will of God, or never will be the will of God, for man to rule over one another. God rules over man. God is our ruler, our king, and it's a very much of a parallel of today, because that man seems to have that same idea. They don't seem to be able to grasp that God still rules man instead of man ruling man. Why can't we grasp it that God wants to be the one to rule over us? Amen. That God wants to be the one. He sent his word and he sent his prophets and he sends things to restore us back and to give us truth. And here we have the truth, but yet instead of looking into the truth and just saying, this is truth and this is what I'm going to do, we go to other brothers and try to find a loophole. Well, I know the word says this, but don't you think it'd be okay if I got remarried? Don't you think it'd be okay if I did this? Don't you think it'd be okay if I went over here and did this activity or that activity? Why do we do it? Because we're looking for a different outcome. absolute than the Word of God. We want a loophole. We want somebody to tell us it's okay, honey. Amen. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's not okay. Again, the rejected king, 1960. But man wants to rule and rule over man. And man wants man to rule over him. He doesn't want to have God to rule. Oh my, let me tell you, God is a much easier taskmaster than the devil or any man that you could pick to rule over you. Amen. Amen. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's just, he's pure, he's holy. You couldn't pick a better entity to rule over you and lead you and guide you. His advice is better than my advice, unless it's him that's given the advice through me. Amen. His words are better than my words, unless it's him that's speaking through me. His thoughts are better than my thoughts, unless it's his thoughts that he's projecting to me. Amen. So sometimes it might be Brother Nathan's humanity, and sometimes it might be God. But with God, it's always God. Amen. With God, it's always his word, and it's always pure, and it's always true. So I want to point you to God this morning, that he's the one to rule over us. Exodus chapter 13, verse 3, and Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Now God sends them a deliverer, and he brings them out with a mighty hand and with plagues and signs and wonders. And there was a voice that went behind the signs that were projected, and the voice was a voice of deliverance, but the same voice that was a voice of deliverance to those who could accept it became a voice of judgment to those that would reject it. And so when he brings them out of Egypt into freedom, then here comes Pharaoh's army right after him. And the very voice that spoke and said, come out of her, my people, the same voice speaks judgment to Pharaoh and his group, and they're drowned in the Red Sea. So you find that it's the same voice, but it depends on how you receive it, whether you receive it or whether you reject it. And so they're delivered now, and here they are. They come out as a free group of people into a freedom that they have prayed and begged and pleaded and cried and wept for God to give them freedom for 400 and something years. And they come out, and God does this in Exodus chapter 13, verse 17. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. It was easier, it was quicker, seemed like the better out. God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. He's just delivered them from the mightiest nation that was up into that time. And they come out of that, and the very God that delivered them from the greatest military force that there was, didn't they think that he could deliver them from the Philistines? Didn't they think that he could deliver them from the Ammonites and all these others? But yet God doesn't take them straight out of Egypt and into battle, but he takes them around the long way, because he knows that if they get into too many battles too quick, they're going to say, okay, we'll just give up and go back. And we wonder sometimes, God, why do you tarry? Lord, I've prayed for this, and I've asked for that. I'm looking for this, and why don't you just take me through the quick way? Well, because God knows what he's doing better than we know. And God knows that sometimes if he takes us in too direct of a path to something, then we either won't appreciate it the way that we should, or either when a little trial comes up in that direction, it'll turn us backwards. So God knows exactly what he's doing. But yet, even though they didn't face any major battles right away like they would in the days of Joshua, yet they would still, all of a sudden, they would get the desire to go back to Egypt. Exodus chapter 16, verse 2, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They've been beaten their entire life. They've been made to work, not for their own gain, but for somebody else's gain. They've been made to live by somebody else's decisions and not their own decisions. And now they come out into freedom and into peace and into the leadership of the Holy Spirit through a vindicated prophet. And just a few days into the journey, they're ready to go back to Egypt because their bellies are getting a little hungry. And they look and they begin to murmur and to complain. And the God that had brought them through so many things had brought them through signs and wonders and plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. And now their belly begins to grumble a little bit. And they'd rather go back to the terrible that they knew than to face the unknown. You see, it's hard for people to change. And it's hard for people to go through change. Because sometimes the known is safer. I'll just stay here and get beat by my taskmaster, and at least I know what to expect than to step out maybe into what God would have me to do. Oh, I hope somebody's preaching with me this morning. Sometimes the unknown is so scary. Well, back there, yes, we were getting beat and we were having to serve and make bricks without straw. And we were doing all this and we couldn't hardly sleep because we had to work so many hours. But at least there was bread and there was this and there was that. And at least we knew what to expect. At least we didn't have to worry about whether there was food or not. Don't you think that the same God that could bring you through the Red Sea, the same God that could deliver you from the greatest military task force that had ever been, could bring you through a little bit of hunger and thirst? But they were constantly looking at their symptoms and their circumstances and wanting to go back to what had been instead of looking forward to what God had for them. Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children with thirst? Oh, so now he brought you up out of Egypt. He forced you out. He made you come. I thought you was praying and begging and crying for God to send him. But now you're thirsty. Now your circumstances have changed a little bit and they begin to grumble and complain. Can you imagine a group like this that had come out of bondage and death and all these different things, and here their prison camp doors had been opened and their jailers had been drowned in the seas, and now they want to go back to their cells. They want to go back to their bondage. They want to go back to their slavery. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? It's sad many times that we do the same in the spiritual. God brings us a prophet and brings us out of denomination and brings us out of false doctrine and out of false teaching and out of high breeding of the word with man's ideas and man's theologies and man's legalism. And we come out of that into the message and we start to set up the very same things within the message. Quiet for a Sunday morning. Numbers 11, verse 4, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. They gave us free fish, Brother Trevor, come on. Free fish. It wasn't free. Hey man, they paid for it with their sweat and their blood and their lives. We had fish freely. We didn't get a paycheck. We didn't get to pick what house to live in. We didn't get to choose where we went on vacation, but there was free fish. My goodness. Now you know why a lot of these churches have fish fries and things, you see. We'll give them free fish. Surely they'll stay if we give them free fish. Remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Nothing but angels' food to eat out here. And God provides it 6 days a week, and then he provides enough on the sixth day that we can gather up and have enough for the seventh day. But we want the onions and the garlics and the leeks and the free fish. And slavery. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, this is at Kadesh Barnea when they've come and they've sent out spies, and the spies have gone out to look out the land, and they came back and said, hey, You know what? The prophet was right. Everything that he told us, it was right. There's grapes. Look at the size of the grapes that Joshua and Caleb brought back. The land is beautiful. It's flowing with milk and honey. The prophecy was just exactly right. But there was just one little detail that he left out in his vision. There's giants in the land. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight. And it's too hard. The message is too hard. It's too difficult. We can't live it in this Laodicean age. And yeah, it's true. It's wonderful. And it's right. And it's true. But it's too hard. I don't think I can do it. So I'm going to get a captain and take me back to Egypt. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get me a web developer to set up a website to take me back to the Baptist or the Pentecostal or the Methodist or this one or that one. God help us. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Oh, they weren't just murmuring against the prophet. They were murmuring against the priesthood now too. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. How ridiculous does that sound for us to read? And yet people doing it left and right in the spiritual. Let us return back. Oh my, you know, God did send a vindicated prophet, and there was miracles and healings and signs and wonders, and the dead was raised and the word was revealed. But my old jeans and my short shorts and my nicotine spirit and my drug addiction and all that is calling back to me back there. And oh, I think I'd rather go back to my taskmaster than have my long hair and my skirts down past my knees. God help us. Numbers chapter 20 verse 1. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for that for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord, when the earth opened up and swallowed them. Would to God that we had died back there with them. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. But look at it now. Amen. The fig tree putting forth her buds, it's known as a land of figs and pomegranates and waters. Amen. But they had to put a little bit of work into it. There was something that they had to do. But they said, oh my, why have you brought us, made us to come up out of Egypt? Why did I make you? You prayed. I was enjoying my vacation with my family on the backside of the desert. I was back there with no strain or no stress or no pressure except chasing some sheep around the backside of the mountain. And you prayed me into this. You pled me into this. You asked God and cried and wept, and he commissioned me. And now I come and I do it, and you want to grumble and complain all the time. We think about Moses and his temper and throwing the tablets down and being kept out of the promised land. But goodness gracious, I wonder if we would have made it to day 3 with 2 million people grumbling and complaining before we were throwing a lot more than tablets. We would have been throwing fits and throwing people and throwing this and throwing that. My goodness. 2 million people. And no matter what God did, they would cry for water. And God would provide it out of the most unlikely place that it could come from, out of a rock. And they would cry for food, and he would provide it out of the most unlikely place it would come from, bread, manna, rain down out of heaven. They didn't have to go and grow wheat in the desert and take it through a process and make the bread and bake the bread and all that. They were traveling out in the wilderness, and it didn't matter where they went. If they were at Kadesh, if they were at Kadesh, if they were at Sinai, if they were in the wilderness of sin, wherever they went, it seemed like there was this cloud of bread that rained right over top of them. Amen. You know, I've my whole life, I can look back, Brother Trevor, and I can see, didn't matter if I was good or if I was bad or if I was indifferent, if I was righteous, if I was unrighteous, if I was running away from God or running to God, there was this little cloud of blessings that hung over top of me, and he blessed me, and he provided for me, and he kept me, because whether I knew it or not, he knew that I was his. But, you know, we begin to grumble and complain because, well, everything's just not going the way that I wanted it to. And everything's just not going the way that I expected it to. And when I came to the message, I thought it'd be different. Or when I came to this church, I thought it'd be this. Or when I came to this or that. Or when I gave my heart to Jesus, I didn't know it was going to be a battle. Well, you were warned. A prophet of God said, we don't come for a picnic. We come for a battle. Amen. You might have brought your nice picnic blanket and laid it out and got your napkins and tucked them in, got your fork and your knife out. And God said, honey, that fork and knife ain't going to do you much good. You need a sword and a shield and a helmet and you need footwear and you need all these things, the whole armor of God for this battle. Amen. Amen. Lay down your fork and your knife and your spoon. There'll be time for eating, but it's time for fighting. Numbers chapter 21, verse 5. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So what does God do in Numbers chapter 21? He sends down fiery serpents, and they begin to bite them, and they begin to die one after the one another in the wilderness. And God tells Moses, make a brass serpent and raise it up. And all those that have been bit, let them look and live. You see, he's a God of judgment, but he's also a God of mercy. Right. About 7 this morning, Sister Mary Beth, I was in the middle of a deep sleep. And I was talking about fiery serpents, reminded me of it. I was dreaming that me and Rebecca and the kids was at a cabin. And we got in the cabin, was unpacking our things. And over in the corner, there was a coiled up copperhead right there, just laying real flat to the ground. And I thought, well, I better take care of this before it takes care of us. And I looked over in the corner of the cabin, and there was a big old baseball bat laying against the wall. And in the dream, I got that baseball bat, and I reared back, and I was just going to crush its head against the ground. And when I did, it began to coil back like it was going to strike me. And just as I began to swing that bat in my dream, in real life, my little teacup chihuahua laying between me and Rebecca puts all four legs straight into my side, and I jumped about 3 feet off the mattress. I thought I was snake bit. And I'm more sanctified than I used to be because the teacup chihuahua didn't get thrown against the wall. He just looked at me like I was crazy. What are you scared for? If God be for us, who can be against us? Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 5. This same group of people that were constant complainers. Moses tells them, I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy feet. Old Navy can't offer you this warranty. Walmart or Kohl's or JCPenney or Joseph A. Banks or none of them will offer this warranty. 40-year, wrinkle-free, fade-free, tear-free, waxing old-free. 40 years, they wondered. They weren't sitting in their living room. They were wandering from desert to desert and oasis to oasis and mountain to mountain. And 40 years, their clothes and their shoes didn't wear old or wear out. Psalm 105, verse 37, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. 2 million people, and they didn't have to have Medicare and Medicaid and medical insurance and all this. We look in Dr. Moses' bag, and he had one prescription. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases. But yet, it wasn't like Egypt. They didn't like the taste of the food as good, and the water wasn't as plentiful, and they always found something to complain, and they were constantly wanting to go back to the very thing that God had brought them out of. Romans chapter 8, St. Paul says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He's telling us that God didn't call to give. He didn't call you out of bondage and out of fear and out of frustrations and out of confusion and out of stress and all that and give you peace and love and joy and mercy and grace. He didn't call you out of all that to place you back under a spirit of bondage and of fear. But he wants you to recognize that his spirit testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're the children of God, though we may have to suffer a little while with him, we're also joint heirs with him that we can reign with him. Amen. So we don't want to have a slave mentality, but a child of God mentality. You see, many times we get to looking too much at the circumstance and the situation, and we begin to live our lives as dictated by that. But don't look at that. Look at who you are and where you came from. Brother Benham tells the story of the man back in the slave days here in America that you know, they were having slave sales and they would sell them like we would sell used cars or something like that. He said it was a terrible thing that one man would do that to another man. And their own people over in Africa and India and different places, their own people would sell them into slavery and they'd come across on boats and be purchased here. And the slave owners, many of them would treat them terribly. And a man came to a plantation where there were some slaves for sale, and most of them were just like the rest to the slaves. They were beat down and discouraged, and they didn't have a lot of hope. They didn't have a lot of looking for freedom, because it didn't seem like freedom was coming. And they were maybe separated from their families, and they didn't have their own place to grow the seeds and things and have their own harvest. But they were growing harvest for somebody else, and they were working for somebody else, and they didn't get to decide what time to get up and what time to go to bed, and they didn't get to decide where they were going that weekend and all these different things. But the man, when he came to buy him, he noticed there was one man that he acted different than the rest of them. Everybody else was like a lot of us so-called Christian message believers, walking around with their head down, defeated. I'm just a slave. I guess things will never change for me, and this is just the way it is, and the devil gave me this box of rattlesnakes, and the doctor said this, and I guess that's just all there is. There's no medicine can help me. And it's genetic in my family. I guess that's just what it is. And this one said this about me, and this one thinks that about me, and this is going on at my job, and this is going on in my family, and this is going on in my church. And I guess I just got to accept it, and this is just what it is. And then there was another one that was over there, and he was walking around like this, with his head up and his shoulders back. He wasn't moping around and whining and complaining, yet his circumstance was terrible. His circumstance was just as bad as these over here, Brother Truman. But here he was walking around with his head up and his shoulders straight. The man said, "Oh, is he the boss over the rest of them? Is that why he thinks he's somebody?" No. He's just one of the slaves. Oh, you feed him better. That's why his stomach's fuller and he's stronger. No, I don't feed him any different. Well, what is different about him? Why does he act different? Why does he walk different? Why does he look different? Well, I wondered the same thing for years myself. And so I began to question and try to trace it back down. I found out that way over in his homeland, he's the child of a king. And so he represents himself, even though he's estranged from his homeland, even though he's a sojourner in a strange land, and even though people look at him funny when he's in Walmart because he don't dress like them, and he don't talk like them, and he don't live like them, and people on his job and his school make fun of him, yet he knows that he's a child of the king. And so he represents himself as though he was a child of the king. Oh my. It's amazing that somebody could be in bondage physically and not have that spirit of bondage, but still represent themselves as a child of the king, and then other people can be free and still act like they're in bondage. Romans chapter 8, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. Romans 8, verse 31, what shall we say? Then say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be? Well, brother so-and-so said this, and he disagrees with me. And he thinks, this one over here on my job, they make fun of me. And this one at my school thinks I'm in a cult. And this one in my family, they said if I keep going to this church or that church, or I keep believing this message, they're not going to have anything to do with me. And one of my friends, they unfriended me on Facebook because I don't see everything just exactly like they do. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If God be for us, if the doctor says you're dying tomorrow, if God be for us, who can be against us? Neither height nor depth nor sickness nor peril, none of those things can separate us from the love of God. Amen. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But Brother Nathan, I just came through a situation and I've been hurt and my family's been hurt and the people are saying bad things about me and I don't know if I'll ever have confidence in people again. And this one hurt me. And this one let me down. And this one said this. And this one's doing this. And I put all my confidence in a man. And he let me down. And I put all my confidence in this family member. And they did me wrong. And I did this. And I did that. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. The problem is we've been looking to too much flesh instead of looking to God. We put people up on a pedestal, and then when they let us down, we're let down. And I guess God just failed us. God didn't fail you. That person may have failed you. Maybe they did it intentionally, or maybe they didn't even do it intentionally. But it wasn't God that failed. You know, in fact, there's one thing that God has never done, and that is fail. He can do anything but fail. It may look to you like he failed, but he's never failed. Everything is moving exactly according to his plan and his purpose. And even if something looks like a failure in your life, he can take that. And even if it was in his permissive will and contrary to what he wanted you to do, he can take that thing from your past and use it to bring you right back around to his perfect will. Oh, I've ran too far, Brother Nathan. I've done too much. I've did this. I've did that. God could never. Don't you ever say God could never. God can do whatever God wants to do. I've just failed so much, Brother Nathan. I fall on my face all the time. Most of the time I don't even feel like a Christian. Sometimes I don't act like a Christian. That don't matter to God. God can take your failure and make it a victory. God can take your mistake and turn it around and use it to humble you and bring you right into his perfect will. You know, as I told you last week, we had went and took the kids for a couple days to see the sight and sound presentation there on Samson. And something that stood out to me, Brother Hoover, I was going to preach a sermon on it, but I guess we'll just go ahead and give it away here. But something that amazed me that they said, that I never thought of it that exactly that way, that when God had spoke hundreds of years before and told Abraham, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy. And here Samson is backslid, living with a prostitute in Gaza, and they try to box him in where he can't get out and shut the gate, and he just goes and picks up the gate and puts him on his shoulders. And he didn't just carry him outside of the gate and set him down, but he carries him all the way to Mount Horeb, which was about 30 miles walk that he carries him, and he takes those gates and he sits them up on the mountain. They ain't getting these gates back. I didn't sit them outside their front door. I carried them 30 miles and set them on top of the mountain. And they're not going to get these gates back. And the seed of Abraham possessed the gates of his enemy. Even though he looked like a failure, yet the word was still being fulfilled. Sometimes God will fulfill his word right through you, whether you realize he's doing it or not. Sometimes in spite of us, God will use us. Amen. Imagine if God can use you in spite of yourself. Imagine, we're not. I know it's not Wednesday night, but we're going to go there. If God can use you in spite of yourself, what can he do if you'll fully yield yourself to him? If he can use you through your mistakes and your failures and you're falling on your face, and he can still use you to be a help to somebody and to encourage somebody and to speak through you even when you don't feel worthy to be spoken through, what can he do if you'll submit yourself to him the way that you know you ought to? Oh, I feel like the church lives so far below our potentials because we let the devil beat us up. But I want to remind him this morning who our daddy is. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. He's ready with open arms to receive you back. You say, well, I failed and I did this and I did that. That don't matter. Make it right and move on into God. Amen. Amen. Don't keep doing what you're doing. We're not here to pet sin and baby and say, it's okay, honey. Keep doing what you're doing. Go your way and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. But don't let the devil keep pointing you back to past failures. Move on. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, I don't claim that I have attained yet, but he said, this one thing I do, forgetting that which is in the past, forgetting the stoning of little Stephen, forgetting all these things, forgetting the persecution of the church that I did, forgetting all those things that I can't go back and change, I am going to press the mark of the high calling of God. I can't change the past. I can't go back and change those things in my life or in your life. But what we can do is serve Him every day of our life. Amen. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. He wants to live in you and work through you. Amen. If He can do it in spite of yourself, just yield to Him one time and see what He'll do. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He didn't give us over to a spirit of bondage to live in fear all the time. Oh, but what will brother so-and-so think? And what will sister so-and-so say? And what about this one? What about that one? And what about this situation over here? And my, what about these things back here that I want to go back to? And what if I stumble and fall? And what if I bring a reproach? And what if this? And what if that? And what if this one says something about me and ruins my character? Stop living under a spirit of fear. You know, I find many times in dealing with people, not just other people, but dealing with my own self, many times we have a tendency to expect the worst instead of to expect the best. And it's probably just a protective humanistic mechanism that's within us, because if we expect the worst and then something better happens, we're happy. But if we expect the best and then that doesn't work out that way, then we're kind of let down. But what a way to go through life, constantly expecting the worst. Oh, sister so-and-so didn't shake my hand after church. She must have something against me. And brother so-and-so, I texted him yesterday and he didn't respond in 3 minutes and 17 seconds. So he must have something against me. And only 300 people liked my Facebook post. And so the other 200 friends that I have on Facebook that are digital friends that I never even see, they must not like me anymore. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I saw a little cartoon last night. Showed about five people out in a sanctuary like this and a casket up front, and said, my, he had 3,000 friends on Facebook. I thought there'd be more people here. I'm glad my friends aren't just on social media. Amen. I'm glad I've got a friend that's closer than a brother. Amen. That even if everybody else fails me, I can call on him. I don't have to inbox him. I don't have to text him. I don't have to wait for him to return my voicemail. But his line is never busy. And if we'll just lay down our stubbornness and our pride and all that and all of our trying to figure it out long enough to talk to him about it, he's got the right answer every time. God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Still under a spirit of bondage. Still bound to the things that we're afraid of. I'm afraid if I trust somebody, my heart will be broken again. Or I'm afraid if I have confidence in anybody that they'll let me down again. I'm afraid I was hurt at this church, so I'm afraid to have confidence in church members. And I was hurt by church leadership back here in my past, so I'm afraid another church leader is going to hurt me. And I'm afraid, you know, I had a family member that let me down, so now I'm afraid all my family is going to, you know, we live in so much fear, but there is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Perfect love doesn't just say, now, honey, fear, you go on out now. We you know, I know you come around here a lot, but it's past your bedtime, so, honey, you go on. Perfect love grabs fear and picks it up and kicks open the door and casts it out. Amen. Said, get out of here, fear. I'm not going to be afraid no more. I'm not going to let the devil torment me and keep me under a spirit of bondage. Amen. Oh, but don't you think you'd be safer back there in fear? Don't you think if you protected yourself and was afraid of everything, and if you didn't shake nobody's hand so you didn't get no germs, and you just walked around and you made yourself a walker that had a big plastic tub with some sanitizer in it, and you just walked around with your hands in that all day, that you'd be better off? If you wore a gas mask every time you was in public and you just went ahead and set off all the airbags in your car so that if you was hit, they was already there for you. And if you just tiptoed through life and didn't do anything or say anything or that might offend somebody or might cause somebody to say anything against you, and you just avoided everybody, that you'd be better off. You'd be in bondage. You'd be in a spirit of bondage and a spirit of fear, but God hasn't given us a spirit of bondage. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but where love is, it casts out fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Amen. All their life they went through life so careful and so cautious because of the fear of death, or the fear of somebody saying something about them, a fear of character death, or fear of spiritual death. Oh, I can't fellowship with so-and-so because I might be deceived. I'm afraid of spiritual death. I'm afraid of spiritual adultery. I'm afraid of physical death. I want to be real careful, and I want to take the safest route and the safest car and the safest this and the safest that. And when my kids go out, they're going to be taped to their bicycle with a 5-pound helmet on their head and a body, full body cast on them, so if they tip over, they're not going to be able to do nothing. We're out here having fun, Daddy. I love riding my bicycle. You know, when I was a kid, Brother Isaiah, we had an old 80, I think it was a, what was it called? A 93 Oldsmobile. It wasn't a 1993. It was a model 93. It was probably a 77 or a 78 or a 79. And it had a big old back window about the size of this pew. And when we was on a trip, I would crawl up in the back window like this and lay and go to sleep on the trip on the back windshield. And it was so warm and so soft and so nice. And sometimes Dad would hit the brakes real hard just to roll me out and tease me. Brother Layton's guilty too. Seat belts, what were those? My Uncle Jeff owned the car before us and cut the things out with some kind of shears. It's okay to be safe. Hey, I wear a seatbelt. My kids wear a seatbelt. But you know what? I lived through the 80s with no bicycle helmet. I survived. Amen. I survived with no seatbelt. They took me out of a car seat when I was about 6 months old. Propped me up in the corner of a seat. No, I don't know if that's true or not. I can't remember that far back, but sounds about right. I didn't have training wheels till I was 40. I went out and got a job as soon as I was able to drive. Oh, goodness gracious. I actually wanted to get a driver's license and a car. Some of these teenagers, they want to live in their parents' basement until they're 50. And so they have no ambition to get a job or get a car or get a driver's license or get anything but the latest video game. And so they sit there. And of course, that's real attractive to all the sisters. He's going to provide for me. His mommy and daddy have a nice big basement and all the mac and cheese in their cupboard that you can imagine. We will be provided for. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Brother Branham begins to talk about this, how that Jesus had come and died on the cross to take away the bondage of death. And to take away the fear and the sting of death. And he says in Israel in the Church, part 2, 1953, I can see Jesus when he went up down there and knocked on the door down there in hell that morning. Hallelujah. He says, I don't know. It just ain't in me to teach, I guess, tonight. Amen. I know how he feels sometimes. He goes on a little further. He said, I can hear Jesus Christ say, I'm the virgin-born Son of God. I came from the ivory palaces of my Father, and I came to the earth. And on the earth is bathed this morning with my blood that I gave and paid the price of death, sin, and hell. Give me those keys. Hallelujah, I'm taking over from here on. You kept the people in bondage. You kept them in fear and everything else, but I'll take over from this on. Hallelujah. Now, this was 2,000 years ago, so why are we still living like the devil has the keys to his house? Why are we still living in fear and the bondage of the fear of death and all these different things that the devil tries to bring on us when he don't even have the keys to his own house? He said, you kept him in bondage and you kept him in fear long enough. Ye kept him in all these things, but I'll take over from this on. He said, took him off and hung him on his own side, pushed him back into hell and walked away. Amen. Amen. Right. And we think of the story of little Johnny Crow sitting out there. Brother Branham said a farmer had tied him down to where he could just walk around in a circle and just get enough to eat right there. He said all of his friends would fly on. Say, oh, did you hear what God has done in this age? How that God sent a prophet and, oh, my, the wonderful things that God's doing. And, my, he's healed us and God came and saved us and filled us with the Holy Ghost and we're free in the Spirit and we're free to do this. And you know, God has come and just moved in a mighty way and he's tore off the shackles of sin, death, hell, and the grave. And we have a glorious hope of the resurrection and we're free in the Spirit to worship the way that the Lord leads us to. And, my, if he leads us to dance, we'll dance. If he leads us to clap, we'll clap. If he leads us to sing, we'll sing. If he leads us to speak in tongues, we'll speak in tongues or whatever he leads me to do. I'm in freedom of the Spirit that I'm not going to let a man bind me down and say, no, we don't believe in that no more. We don't believe that God works in people like that no more. Well, somebody needs to tell God because his word still says that he does. Amen. And we walk around like Johnny Crow sometimes. Oh, I couldn't do that. What would the pastor think? I couldn't do that. What would Sister Susie think? I couldn't do that. My family, it'd make it real awkward at Thanksgiving if I became that kind of a Christian. Oh my, it'd make it terrible. What would my wife say if I started praising the Lord and just really turned loose? She'd say, you big hypocrite, I know how you lived on Saturday. Well, it ain't Saturday, it's Sunday, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to start now, and I'm not going to look back to Saturday, but it's going to be Monday, and I'm going to serve him that day, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday. I'm going to stop letting the devil or anybody else drag me back to this and drag me back to that. I'm not headed back that direction, Brother Furman. I'm headed this direction. Oh, my. What would somebody think? I was a holy roller. Well, Brother Bram said I'd rather be a holy roller than an unholy one. Said one day a man felt sorry for him and came, cut the string that held his leg. And it came time for the birds to fly south for the winter. You know, it started getting cold like it has been the last few days or cooler. And they began to fly south and they said, come on, Johnny Crow. We're headed in a different direction. We're not earthbound creatures. We're going to soar up into the heavenlies. But he'd been bound so long, he just thought, no, I'm better off here. At least I know right here in this little patch I've got my food and I've got a little bit of water over here in this muddy puddle and I'm safe right down here. If I don't move too much or don't stir up too much, and if I'm not very loud at night, the coyotes won't hear me, and I'll just stay right here just real soft and freezing to death like a lot of church members. I can imagine about December, he was sitting there. Maybe one of his buddies flew back close enough to look down and see him and said, come on, Johnny Crow, you're free. You see, he was free, but he didn't know he was free. And you're free this morning. Satan's trying to keep people in bondage to their past or in bondage to their addictions or in bondage to some man-made legalism that they sat under so long that they just think that it's the Word of God instead of going back and seeing what the Word of God really says about it. And they sit there bound. And God says, come on. You're a son. You're a daughter. You don't have to live down like that. You're not in bondage. I came to free you. I've had the keys to death, hell, and the grave on my side for 2,000 years. You're free. I feel safer down here in Egypt. I know what to expect. There's no fear of the unknown. God help us. He didn't give us a spirit of bondage or a spirit of fear. Can you imagine if Brother Branham, when the angel commissioned him, he said, hey, no, I'm happy here in my little tabernacle. I've got a little group of people that they support me and they understand my hits and haints and totes and fetch and carries, and they don't make fun of me because they're those type of folks too, and kings and monarchs and stuff. That's out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't be able to talk to no king or no monarch. I wouldn't be able to fly around the world. And in fact, I was listening to a tape recently. He said his mommy, you know, it's interesting to hear prophet of God talk about his mother, and you realize, you know, how your parents are, and then you realize how you are as a parent, and you think, my goodness, you never really thought about it like that. But he said he was talking there in the 50s, I think it's 1954, and he said his mother, she was supposed to be in the meetings, and he said she's getting up in age, and he said she told me the other day, he said one day you'll come back from a meeting and I won't be here, and he said she doesn't like me to fly because she always worries about me when I'm flying. And I thought, here God calls him to fly all over the world, And I hear a mommy sitting back there worrying, is my son going to come back from this trip? See, they were people too. They were people like we were. He wanted to be with his family. Maybe God called him to be over in South Africa for 3 months or wherever it would be, or over in Finland for a couple of months or different places. And God working and using him. And no doubt it would have been easier and more comfortable for him to say, hey, I've got a job, I've got a church, I've got everything. I'm comfortable here. I've got my little bubbling brook that I walk to on my job, and that's my routine, and everything's just the way that I like it. And I've got my buddy down here that cuts my hair, and this place I go and get coffee that I like, and all these things, and I get to go around and see this one and that one, kings and monarchs and other countries and nations and languages and people, and how would they receive me? See, he was out of his comfort zone. But when an angel comes and commissions you to do something, or when the Word of God says plainly to do something and you see it in the Word, it's time to get out of our comfort zone. Amen. And say, Lord, it may not be easy, but I see this in your Word and I'm going to step into it. And I'm not just going to read the Word and let it lay there on the page, but I'm going to allow it to become a part of my life. And I'm going to live what's on the page. Whether it's comfortable or not, whether it's part of my routine or not, whether it's exactly the way that I've been used to or not, Lord, I'm walking into more of your Word and more of you. I'm coming out of the bondage of Egypt and tradition, and I'm coming out of the bondage of taskmasters and addictions and all these things that have held me back, or blaming my genetics, or blaming my pastor, or blaming my parents, or blaming this one. Lord, I'm walking into more of you. Amen. No more fear, no more bondage, peace and love that he's trying to give you. Is that your desire this morning? Amen, you're free this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the freedom that's in the Holy Spirit. Freedom, Lord, that if we feel you leading us and guiding us, we don't have to sit down and ask a committee if it's okay to do something. We don't have to sit down and ask the state presbyter or the pope or some religious committee, is it okay for us to go do this, or okay for us to say this? It would be okay if we visited this brother, or would it be okay if we encouraged this one, or went and preached here, or if we sang this song or did that? Lord, you've never ran your church like that. Lord, yet we know you sent men in the church. You use their gifts to bless people and to help people in their walk, Lord, but you never called us to rule over others. You never called us to be a dictator, to rule over people's lives or to lord over them. You made man. Man made slaves. But never was it your will, Lord, for somebody to sit under bondage, whether it was physical or spiritual or any other type of bondage, emotional, mental, whatever it would be, Lord. It's your desire that we would be free. Free in the Holy Spirit. Free to be flexible. Like those little trees that Brother Branham was talking about growing up, the old ones that were burnt over, they couldn't move with the winds. They would just moan and groan and say, the days of this are past and the days of that are past. But Lord, he said there was some flexible undergrowth that was coming up, and they were flexible to the winds. Lord, help us to be flexible to the Holy Spirit, that whatever you would lead us to do, whatever you would guide us to do, we would be flexible, Lord. May you do the leading. May you do the guiding, Father. May we submit ourselves to you. Help us, Jesus. May we not live under a spirit of fear or a spirit of bondage, but Lord, may the people realize this morning they're sons, they're daughters, they're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You love them and you care about them. You don't want them to be beat down and oppressed by other people's ideas. But Lord, you want them to live under the only subjection that you want them to live under is subjection to the Word. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to you and to your Word. Lay aside traditions and man-made ideas. Just stay pure to your Word. Help us, Jesus. We love you. Lord, if there's any that have struggled with these things, Lord, of just letting go in the Spirit and being free, Lord, to do whatever you would have them to do, or say whatever you would have them to say, go wherever you would have them to go. Father, may they feel that freedom come in. May the Holy Spirit come in like a flood over them, Lord. Just grant deliverance. Lord, if they have fears of sicknesses or fears of accidents or fears of offending somebody, Lord, may your Holy Spirit bring them peace and comfort and realize that, Lord, the same God that's protected them this far can protect them further, Father. Just like the same God that brought Israel out of Egypt, If you could bring them out of bondage, if you could deliver them through a Red Sea, you could provide water and food and clothes. You're still that same kind of provider, Father. Lord, you're a good father. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, Lord, being in our humanity, how much more, Lord, do you know how to give us what we have need of? Be with each one this morning, Father. Lord, may they feel freedom in the Spirit as they've never felt it before, Father. May they realize, no matter what the devil tells them, no matter what anybody else tries to tell them, they're free because you came and you gave your life to set them free. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, Father. Oh, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there is power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, there is power. Oh, he's here this morning. He promised that he would be. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Oh, there's an army that's rising. Oh, yes, God's army, she's rising. That goes on around us. Still there's a bride that's rising. He said she'd be without spot, without wrinkle. Oh, there's a bride that's rising. All around the world this morning, there's a bride. He's called her out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue. She's rising up. Oh, she'll break every chain, break every, with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, God will break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. What's that you hear this morning, Brother Nathan? I can hear people's chains. They're falling. Chains of addiction, chains of circumstance. I hear my chains, chains of the past, chains of lies that have been told you. I can hear this. Yes, Lord. Oh, help us break every chain, break every chain. Satan tried to bind you, but you're free this morning. Oh, break every chain, break every chain, break. The dead is here. There's still power. Oh, it's not in the name of a church. It's not in a geographical location, but there's still power. Oh, it's in the name, not in the name of a move or an organization, but he'll break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Let's sing it this way. He broke my chains, 'cause there's still power. Yes, Jesus. Thank you for freedom, Lord. There's still power. Yes, Lord. There's still power. Sick this morning, why don't you stand to your feet and accept your healing as we sing it this way. There's still healing, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's still healing. Oh, it's in the name of Jesus. Heal every one of them. There's still healing. Oh, it's in. He paid the price at Calvary. Healed if you can accept it this morning. He broke every chain. He broke every chain. He broke every chain. Jesus broke every chain. He broke every chain. Let's sing it that way again together. There's still healing. There's still healing. Thank you.
Amen.
Let's sing this together. Thank God I am free. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out saving power. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Bird out of prison that has taken its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring through His holy name. Been washed in the blood, been born again. Oh, hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. What a
bring me out and show me the way. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. Brother Nathan had asked me if I could sing this, and it's such a timely song. I pray that it blesses you. You help me out. Lord, you unravel me with the melody. You surround me with a song. Oh, of deliverance from my... Thank you, Lord. Until sing it that way once again. God. Oh, I'm no longer.
Say that, amen. Our fear is gone. We've been set free, amen.
My heart was distressed, beneath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down. Yes, I cried to the Lord from the deep, my clay. He tenderly brought me out to golden day. His grace until the crown I gain. He brought me out of that miry clay, and he set my feet on the rock to stay. He puts a song in my today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. He gave me a song, 'twas a new song of praise. By day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer has rescued me. In my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. I'll sing of salvation at home and abroad, till many shall hear the truth, trust in God. Oh, he brought me out of that miry clay. He set my feet.
God bless you, saints. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed. Sing it as you go.
Today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Yes, he brought me out of that miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. Song of praise by day and by night, its sweet notes I will raise. My heart's overflowing, I'm happy and free. I'll praise my Redeemer who has rescued me. He brought me out of that miry clay, he set my feet on a rock to stay. Song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He placed me upon the strong rock by his side. My steps were established here, I'll abide. No danger of falling while here I remain, but stand by his grace until the crown.